Praise the Lord, Father of heaven, move with your glory, with your love, and with your power. We praise you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Brother Bear is no stranger to most of you, except in Sister Coleman. And the rest of you, Brother, have you heard him, Brother? Well, you're in for a treat tonight. And we're glad to see these folks from Lone Oak. We're really glad to have you with us tonight. Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
we bring you Brother Robert Bayer, and God bless him as he blesses you with the word. Praise the Lord.
And praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Shake hands with somebody and tell them the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. Would you?
Amen.
Praise God. Would everybody together say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
All
ye lands.
Serve
the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
It is He that hath made us.
And not we ourselves.
We are His people.
And the sheep of His pasture.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving.
And into His courts with praise.
Be thankful unto Him.
And bless His name.
Let's do it. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Would everybody say, for the Lord is good.
His mercy is everlasting,
and His truth endureth
to all generations.
That was Psalm 100, and I appreciate for enduring truth, don't you?
Thank God for the real truth that has endured.
Appreciate being here tonight.
Thank the Lord for the safe journey. And I'm so pleased that I was able to work out the situation in order to be here tonight. Brother Sister Relly, just some of my favorite people. I always love to be here. Love this church. Enjoy the good singing, the good worship. Appreciate our visitors, as mentioned tonight. Glad to have Brother Shields with us tonight. Brother Sister Coleman. Yes, Brother McCoskey. Sure. I remember one of the last times I was here, you all helped me on a trip I made overseas. And I want to thank the church, Brother Rutledge. And you know me well enough, I'm not one of those braggadocious kind. But in one place we went in Fiji, 50 were baptized in Jesus' name in 1 week. 9 of them were Assembly of God Bible School students. Now, I think that's great, don't you? I appreciate that. Appreciate your helping me out in that. And I appreciate being here tonight and tomorrow, Lord willing. I don't claim to be a prophet or the son of a prophet. I didn't have a dream or vision. I didn't talk with Michael or Gabriel. I just felt to come. That's all.
Yeah.
I had 2 other places that I was supposed to be, but I really did. I felt to come. And I appreciate being with Brother and Sister Rutledge and with everybody present tonight. Wouldn't this be a good night for someone to receive what they need from God? I don't know what you need. I'm not God. I'm not going to try to play God. There's too many preachers and too many churches playing God. I'm telling you right now, we all, every one of us need to quit playing God. I don't know what you need, but God does. And I don't care what it is, He is able. Would you mind to raise your hands and let's praise the Lord for His ever-providing power. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to ask a question. I, of course, ask a lot of places. And that is, everybody with a Bible, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Those without any Bible with them tonight, would you kindly say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I know I wouldn't need it. You wouldn't ask me to read. If you did, I'd say, you tell him, you know it.
We're glad you're here. Praise God. Enjoyed that good music tonight. You've had very good singing. I appreciate that. Open your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're reading from verse 19.
Leave your Bibles open to Ephesians 2, as I believe that's where we'll preach tonight. The second chapter of Ephesians. We will eventually begin with verse 1 in a verse-by-verse commentary or expository method of Bible preaching. I've always felt the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Too many people say, I think this and I think that. Frankly, it doesn't make a whip stitch what you think. It's what the Bible says. But I do want to read from Ephesians 2, verse 19, if you allow me. And then we'll drop back to verse 1. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone.
Hallelujah.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's many versions we could recite here. One in particular I think is profitable for this last verse. Instead of the King James reading through the Spirit, it really should have been translated in the Spirit. Because it does take Holy Spirit baptism to build the temple. I'm glad I got it, aren't you? Reading verse 19 again, please read it with me in unison. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Heads up. Shoulders back. You're going somewhere. You're somebody. Would you pray now with me for a move of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You may be seated. The raw material the church is built from is nothing more or less than sinful people. Without a question, verses like 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, and Titus 2, verse 11 through Titus 3, verse 6, are other verses that we could recite, like in the book of Ephesians 4, and verse 17 through 21 and 22, and even 24. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 11. And the list is almost endless. That the long line of saints today used to be the long line of sinners yesterday. I'm not here to bring your past. I'm not here to tell you how bad you were. I'm just glad you're no more strangers and foreigners. If you've ever been to an area of our great country or out of the country, you'll realize acutely that a stranger and a foreigner is not necessarily looked up upon, they're looked down upon. And we all realize tonight that we don't deserve what we have, but that isn't the reason we got it anyhow. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, you'll notice in this chapter of Ephesians 2, Paul is talking to people that he remembers where they come from. The church at Ephesus begun in Acts 19 with 12 men baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, verses 1 through 6. And that's the way you start home missionary works. And the great temple Diana in Ephesus was one of the wonders of the ancient world. The infamous temple, prostitutional practices, and many other licentious carnal methods were flaunted and lived. And these people knew what hardcore sin was.
Yeah.
And Paul is telling these people not how dirty and low down they were, but how great they are now.
Hallelujah.
I do think if we spend more time building one another up instead of assassinating one another's character, we would be better off. In verse 1, chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So let me just start right from the beginning and say, there's more ways to be dead than graveyard dead. You can be dead in sin, completely oblivious to the blessings of God. You, I'm sure, have had people come to you with a photograph and say, "Look at this. Do you recognize the features?" And somebody maybe with a long beard and scrubby and unkempt and uncouth and, "No, I don't recognize." Well, they say, "That was me." Many times I say, "I don't believe it. You're lying like a dog." But sure enough, it was them behind all that brush and beneath all that sin. And so it is. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice it said, "You have he quickened." Everybody say, "Quicken." Now there are many synonyms used to describe New Testament regeneration, rejuvenation, born again experience. And this is one of them. Quickened. For instance, you could read in Colossians 1:13 where it talks about we're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So even before the rapture, you have a translation. Then in Romans 6, verse 4, it talks about rising to walk in newness of life. It's a new way, as Brother Coleman so wonderfully sung about. It's a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 calls us new creatures.
Hallelujah.
Ezekiel 36:26 talks about us having new hearts and new spirit would He put within us and take away the stony heart out of our flesh. In James 1:18, it talks about we are begotten again. 1 Peter 1:3, He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And in 2 Peter 1:4, it talks about we're partakers of His divine nature. In 1 John 3:2, now are we the sons of God. And all of this says what Jesus talked about to Nicodemus of being born again. In John 3, verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, and the mechanics in verse 5 are described as water and spirit. And in John 1:13, it simply states that we're born of God. 1 John said again, 3 verse 9, born of God. And so, the first birth was of the earth, earthy. But the new birth, the second birth, the regeneration, the rejuvenation, the recreation is from above. And so I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, content of your character, where you come from, what you've done. That doesn't make any difference. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. You're born again from above. And that's what matters. Amen? Now, Jesus described it in another way in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but notice, is passed from death unto life. So there's a metamorphosis, there's a translation, a regeneration, a transformation. That doesn't talk about shaking a preacher's hand. That's not talking about signing a church book. Passing from death unto life is a definitive experience that you know what you got, where you got it, how you got it, who gave it to you. And bless God, I reckon I ought to know I was there when it happened. You know, and you know that you've been changed and rearranged. Hallelujah. And so, again, verse 25 of John 5, the next verse, Jesus goes on and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now many think that refers only to the resurrection. No, no. Right now, the dead in sin, the dead in iniquity, if they will hear the voice of the Son of God, they can live. That ought to be wonderful, isn't it? And so,
We use the term scripturally, and that's where I'm going to stay, and if you don't agree with it, you got problems. Ephesians 2, verse 1, you have He quickened. A lot of people disdain, distastefully, degradingly, disparagingly make their snide remarks against the power of God. I don't care what you think about it. It could be you've had some unpleasant experiences with wildfire, or some people getting out of precise modesty. No doubt about that. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater is the wrong thing to do. There is still the original, authentic, validated, certified, confirmed power and quickening of the Holy Ghost. And you hath He quickened. Everybody say quickened. 1 Peter 2:4 calls the church of baptized believers lively stones, not tombstones. Now, I don't know what you are tonight, but I hope you're not a tombstone. Anybody can sit there and go to sleep. Anybody can sit there and let their eyes glaze over in their head. Anybody can sit there and let their mind wander to a Kmart Blue Light special. Anybody can wonder about the unwashed dishes in their sink. You ain't no better than anybody else. But it takes somebody to say, God, You brought me from a long way. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a foreigner. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got a life in Christ. I'm born again. I'm a lively stone. Chapter 3, there was a man healed that was lame, and he went to church walking and leaping and praising God. We go to church sometime moping and groping and mumbling and murmuring and limping and grouching and griping, and God help us all. Wouldn't hurt to come to church leaping and praising God. Amen. They were drunk on the day of Pentecost with new wine, Holy Ghost wine. I've said many times, the New Testament church of baptized believers was begun by a bunch of drunks. And anytime you dislike classic Pentecostal inebriation, intoxication, drunkenness, you're not apostolic. You're a drifting chunk of cloud bank buttered with the night wind. You're nothing but a sepulcher manned by a frozen crew. All you've got is stories from the past. But my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of revival in the 90s. He's the God that can save the young and the old. He's the God that can save the derelict, the dopehead, the alcoholic, and the harlot, and the homosexual. My God can deliver. He can quicken. The attestation of that is you. You're the validation of that. You sitting there knowing what God's brought you from. And if God can save you, He can save anybody. And you, notice the inflection in this, and you have to quicken. You have to know a little bit of Paul. He was the master of the satoric satyr. Notice, it means, translated to street language, who would have thought, of all people, you, Saturday night in church, on a church bench, instead of a bar stool at some tavern. Who thought it? You! Hath He quickened. Why, your family didn't think you'd be the one. Your friends didn't think you'd be the one. If odds were laid down, most people would have thought you wouldn't have been here tonight. But here we are. And you hath He quickened. 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 Who were dead. That's in the past tense. In trespasses and sins. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who were dead. That's past tense. I disdain the self-appointed, self-deputized, investigative license many people put on themselves to take their hand and reach under the blood and pull out every sin someone's committed and throw it in their face. I think if we sing about the blood, let's let the efficacy and power of the blood do its work. Let's forgive and forget. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Amen? We're in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, there's a way we used to walk and live that wasn't good. And we'd be the first to stand up and say, I'm glad I don't live that way anymore. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind,
And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now the word conversation here means manner of life. We walked according to the course of this world, and we did what we thought we wanted to do that was good for us. But now we look back and say it wasn't good for us. But nobody could tell us then that it wasn't good for us. The preacher couldn't tell us. Mama couldn't tell us. And some of you hard heads, your daddy couldn't tell you. And your friends couldn't tell you. You had to get out there and sow your wild oats and make your own mistakes before you finally woke up that the best life there is in church. And the best life there is knowing Jesus. And the best strength there is the Holy Ghost power. I'm glad we found that out, aren't you? Now, Scripture tells us we fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice it says, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature is simply the acquired tendency of your nature or your physiological being. For instance, someone says, I see Aunt Mary in you. Or when you start screaming, kicking a cat through the screen door, I see Grandpa Zeke coming out in you. We inherit the tendencies of our ancestors. We all had access to a genealogical pool. And when we were conceived, we were hereditaries of all of the positives and the negatives. But the Scripture said we were by nature the children of wrath. So don't sit there and think you're an angel. You was not an angel. You never have been an angel, though you've been up in here and harping a long time. You never been an angel. Let me tell you, we were the children of wrath. There's nobody in here could qualify for pristine, perfect, holy, holy, goody, good Jews. Everybody in here has made enough mistakes to go to hell, COD. We were by nature the children of wrath. By nature means what we are. And we needed God. Now let's say you go deer hunting. I don't get to go. I would love to sometime. Nothing wrong with it. And you take your gun and you go out to shoot you a deer. And a 12-point buck jumps up and you pull the gun up. And the buck stops and turns and looks at you and says, looky here. I'm tired of this run, 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 run. You give me the gun and you run, 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 run. I tell Mr. Buck, dear, that's not the nature of things. The ordinary pursuit and the scheme of life is you do the running and I do the shooting. Let's say you go catfishing or you go brim fishing and you take your pole and you throw your line in the water and the hook goes down and that big bewhiskered cat, 50 pounds large, comes in the top of the water and says, I'm tired. I'm chowing down on these sharp hooks. You give me that pole and you get in the water and I'm going to fish for you. I know what I'd say, Mr. Catfish. By nature, you do the swimming and I do the fishing for you. And if I catch, I'm going to eat you. Yeah, you see what I'm trying to say? So don't try to explain this away and say, I can't help myself. The devil made me do it. And my mother's nature, I acquired my daddy's nature or this nature. And I'm not really responsible for the infamous dirty lot and roll down deeds that I've done. No, 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 no. Come on, smell the coffee now. You're no better, no worse than anybody else. We all needed a Savior. We all needed the Holy Ghost. We all needed the blood. We all needed to repent. We all needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. We all needed it. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Would somebody help me and say, but God. Didn't say, but the United Pentecost Church International or some independent church either. It didn't say, well, some preacher with a DD, double LD, and a PhD driving LTD. No. It didn't say some famous TV evangelist or radio minister or video expertiser. It didn't say, no, 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 no. You can run your mouth all you want to run, but you got to read the Bible. It said, but God. If God hadn't got a hold of me, I'd have been lost. If God hadn't got a hold of you, you'd have been lost. God visited my life. God arranged things that I could hear His Word. God arranged things that I would be in church. God arranged things that I could hear a song. I could hear a sermon. I could have a chance. My, my, we need to thank Him for that tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, I believe in the judgment of God. I believe that. But the last time I checked, the white throne of judgment hadn't been set up yet. Now you can thunder and lightning all you want to. But a black-hearted sinner
and an ungodly drunkard and thief can still find mercy at the cross. You can preach against or talk against licentiousness or homosexuality or some kind of ungodly, filthy barnyard immorality. You can blast it to high heaven. But the last time I checked, God was rich in mercy. Last time I checked, He was still taking people debauched and bewitched and bothered and messed up and making saints of God out of them. Last time I checked, the raw material of the church was sinners. Sinners! Sinners! But God, who is rich in mercy! You know, I find it paradoxical and coincidental and quite amazingly insightful that some people that are so harsh suddenly get real merciful when some disaster strikes their home or their children or their life or their church. I've noticed that. I wonder if we couldn't just stop ahead of time and say, Lord, help me never forget. You're still rich in mercy. You're in the forgiving business, and if people want you, they can have you. But God, who is rich in mercy! For His great love, wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath He quickened us together with Christ. You was doing despicable, horrible, macabre, cruel, unnatural, perverted, twisted, debauched, debased, damnable, low down, filthy things that we don't even want to talk about, and people turn their back on. But God still loved you. He still loved you. He still had His hand on you. And you mean to tell me you've got the unmitigated gall, two gallbladders, and the effrontery to sit there with your hands folded, knowing He's brought you from a mighty long way and dug you out of a cesspool and washed you from some muck and mire? I charge you in the Holy Ghost. You've got to thank Him for what He's done. Praise Him for what He's done. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I'm right in the Bible, so don't get mad at me. You'll have to get glad. That's all there is to it. Even when we are dead in sin, hath He quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us together with Christ. Could have left us alone, dying in our sin, but He quickened us together with Christ. Put a song in your mouth. Laughter in your heart. Running in your feet, clapping in your hands. You think you got that because you're good looking? Get out of my face. You think you've got it because you're ugly as a mud finch? No, no. You're not that way because you got a few bucks to rub together. God don't need your money. Your money perish with you if you think that'll buy you an ounce of heaven. You're not going to go or have anything because of your knowledge. One thing and one thing only. The mercy, the love, the goodness of God. He quickened us together with Christ. I appreciate that, don't you? By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The key word there is together. Somebody say together. I disdain this egotistical abnormality that creeps among us like a paralysis. Some people think they're a little better than someone else, or maybe a little more holy than someone else, and God's got a private rapture for them, or a private staircase behind the palace that only they can ascend into the throne room. No, this verse said together, together, together. We can laugh together. We can shout together. We can worship together. We can dance together. We can have revival together. We can walk together. We can preach together. For God's sake, we need to get along together. We're in this together. Sink or swim, live or die. Hallelujah. Hath raised us up together. Raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Heavenly places. Oh, I'm not talking about necessarily a vision or a dream as Paul had of himself in the third person singular caught up in the third heaven. I'm speaking of a move of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the singing and the preaching and your body's parked on that pew, but your mind and your spirit and your soul is enjoying the blessings of God. Hallelujah. You come to church discouraged and downhearted, and He raises us up together. There's nothing like a Holy Ghost service. There's no substitute. I'm not preaching against any extra church-like
activities of curricular nature. I don't blast these kind of things. And you're really ridiculous to do and waste a lot of time on that. What we got to remember is the main thing that holds us together is the move of God. If we can just have the move of God, we can make it. Oh, I may be under pressure. I may be really in the valley. But if I can get to church and have a move of God and get raised up a little bit, I can make it. Woo! Hallelujah! If I can just get raised up, not blasted down, raised up together! Hallelujah! And make us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say together.
Yeah.
Say together.
Yeah.
Say together.
Yeah.
You can have what you need tonight. I'm not going to try to play God. I'm not going to try that because I can't do it. I don't know everything that's needed here tonight. But I know God can renew you, revitalize you, reactivate you, reconsecrate you, rededicate you. He can absolutely put power in you. He can light your fire, put some burning fire into your shoe leather. Hallelujah. Man, you can leave here saying like Jeremiah, that fire shut up in my bones. And you haven't eaten Mexican food either. Hallelujah. Really, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, God can do the impossible. He can raise you up. I don't know what kind of a fault bank you're struggling through, but God can raise you up above your problem, above your depression, above your negativism and pessimism. Hallelujah. Let me preach to some of you, because I feel God's trying to help you in spite of yourself. You've gotten down on yourself. You think God can give others revival, but not you. God will heal others, but not you. God will work with others, but not you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He'll raise us up together and make us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am not a naturalist, but I love nature.
Amen.
And one of my favorites is the eagle. That soars in the very face of God. I've really envied that old bird.
Yeah.
When you're sloughing through the valley, and you look up and there's that eagle just soaring around, alighting on some cliff of the rock or some high treetop, look down at you in the valley.
Yeah.
But since I've got the Holy Ghost, well, I still got problems and devils and still go through situations, and believe it or not, you get sick. There's all kinds of things that used to happen that still happen. But I found a secret. Can I share it with you? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what Isaiah said, 40 verse 28 to 31. Claim it tonight. You can be revitalized, reactivated, energized tonight. You can absolutely leave this building with your head up and your shoulders back, saying, I've been to church and I've been to the mountain and I'm going to try one more time. He's raised us up together. Made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Someone give me an amen out there. Now the reason is very simple. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now a lot of people don't like to be put on the spot and with light on them and have to get up for a crowd and say things. We all have a little bit of stage fright probably, and you just rather melt in the pack and just become inconspicuous. Nothing. But God is so proud of you and the work that His grace has done in your life. He knows, and you know, where you've been brought from. He knows every pigtail you've scurried down.
He knows every weed you puffed, every hubcap you stole. He knows every reefer you've lit up and every joint. He knows every shot in the arm and down the gullet. Come on now. Come on now. He knows every suicidal tendency, neuroses, psychotic, myopic, and idiotic behavior pattern you have. He knows every wide Sahara you like to never made it across. He knows every long winter of discontent you like to never made it through. He don't want you to hide out through eternity. But in the ages to come, there will arrive a point in time when he's going to parade his people before the assembled glory celestial beings of infinity. Stand back, angels. You've got something, but I've got something you don't have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got something you don't have. And the Lord, I don't know when it'll be. It might be 79,643 millenniums from now. I don't know. But my name will surely be called. And when I come from behind the podium or out of the choir or from all that innumerable number, I'm going to stride to the front. And the Lord God said, what do you got to say? I'm going to say, I'd like to testify how grace brought me over. I'd like to testify how the blood washed my soul. I'd like to testify how I was down and out, and you brought me up and in. I'd like to testify I was a nobody till you made a somebody out of me. I'd like to testify that you're all right. You hear me? You're all right. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Everybody say Christ Jesus. Does that conjure up anything in your mind? And he says, I just felt an angel go by and touch me. Want to place one up in smoke. People really, you know, wow. And I'm not throwing any disrespect. But another friend of mine who happened to be the superintendent, right behind me, said something I'll never forget. He said, now you folks, you got all excited about it. Now this was the next night the superintendent said. He said, last night you got all excited about the angel that brushed the brother. And you went up and smoked yourself. But he said, do you know who's been here every night? Do you know who's been here when you was down and out, lonely and discouraged? You didn't have money to pay your bills. Your children's been sick. You ran out of a job. Your roof leaked and the motor fell out of your car. Your teeth are falling out and your hearing aid battery's gone dead. And you can't use your limbs and your arthritis has about got you. And you get up and goes there. You know who's been there? Every morning you got out of bed. You know who's been there? Every time you've had to go to the hospital. And every time you've had to go see a doctor. You know every time you've ever come to church and you sung. You know who's been here? Every time you preached. Every time you've had revival. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I sort of like what my friend said. He said, you got all excited about the angel, but you didn't get excited about the one that's greater than any angel. And I look at some of you, and I hope I don't have to say this with all any disrespect, but I hope it never comes true. Some of you don't get excited about angels. You don't get excited about Jesus either. I wonder what you are going to get excited about. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, I charge you in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil do that number to your mind. You're not a stranger. You're not a foreigner. You've got an experience that a lot of people don't have. You're privileged. You're unique. You're a peerless group of people, unparalleled, unrivaled, unexampled, unduplicated. My God, you're not just any rich addict, mediocrity. No. I don't know how many people, about 65,000 in Pine Bluff. I don't know how many's got the Holy Ghost, but I doubt over 5 or 6,000's got the Holy Ghost. I doubt very seriously there. Then I look here, here you are, got the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, in church. My Lord, let's praise Him today. Let's praise Him right now. Is that all right? Now, Scripture said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching against programs. We all try every kind of an avenue, legitimate, to get people to come, and that's all right. Yeah. But the bottom line is, not of ourselves. We know that. We just hope and pray that we can just get them here. The power will fall. But invariably, some old rooster sitting around will say,
Well, I hope that the CKQ don't do her thing tonight, that we've got visitors.
Yeah.
You're looking at a preacher that would secretly pray, oh God, put it on CKQ tonight. I hope she just shouts in the visitor's face. I don't mean that to be smart. I don't mean that to show off. I just mean that the way I'm saying it, that we're not ashamed of what we are and what we have. I'm not advocating March hares and wild-eyed, unregulated emotionalism, but I am advocating scriptural regeneration. Hallelujah! Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And you quit sitting there thinking you're a gift to the church. You ain't nothing. God give a gift to you. You think you'd have that song in your heart if there wasn't a reason for the song? Man, don't we understand the architect's greater than the architecture? The artist is greater than the artist's rendering? The building is not greater than the builder? Can we not understand? Sure, we appreciate what we have, but think of the one who gave it to us. Woo! Hallelujah! It is the gift of God! It is the gift of God! It is the gift of God! Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Notice, please, the word created here speaks of a spontaneous act of divine intervention that we became something we were not. Created. Created. And here you are, newborn. Thank God for that. We are His workmanship. Had a man come up to me the other day and walked up to me and he said, I'll tell you one thing, preacher, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I looked at him and I said, sir, don't lay that off to the grace of God. I'm sorry about that. Some of us still have a lot of rough spots. Don't sit there and say you're a finished product of grace. How dare you insult the intelligence of God? Everybody in this building still needs to be worked on. Everybody in this building still needs revival. The Word of God. A red-hot Holy Ghost Sunday night service. Everybody in this building still needs to go to church and worship, 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 worship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. Wherefore, remember. Everybody say, remember. Remember. Our forgetter works better than our rememberer works. You know, there's one thing that I have to be so careful about personally. It gets my goat, horse, and cow. When I get around people that act like they never were sinners, you know. They just spontaneously jump from the cradle to being the cherubimic, seraphimic, created celestial being in human form. I don't believe that stuff. I think we all need to remember. I think it does us all good to let our mind go back to the day, the hour, the time, the place when the Lord started working on our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made without hands. What Paul is saying is in the covenant relationship, everybody was excluded but the Jews. And when he calls you and calls me Gentiles in the flesh, this is a barbaric theological term, meaning we were scum of the earth, meaning we was nothing, heathens, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Absolutely, I don't care who you are, what you think you are, that's what we were. Gentiles in the flesh. Amen. That at that time you were without Christ. Oh, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We had no knowledge of the Abrahamic covenant, no knowledge of God's workings with humanity from Adam on. We was ignorant, as a hog knows more about Sunday than we knew about God. And oh, we could tell you how to smoke a reefer, or how to bet on the horses, or we could tell you how to cheat on income tax, and we could tell you how to do a lot of other things, but God? No, no. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were without Christ. Aliens! I don't know whether I'm not just productive enough tonight in my preaching to stamp that on our little old minds. That an alien is in a place they have no legal right to be. That he's in a country that he does not have a citizenship. I think I told you the story, but I'll just tell it again. Hallelujah. I'm not much of a storyteller, but I'm going to tell this one because I was there. I was preaching one time in the San Joaquin Valley of California, a little dusty town called McFarland for Brother Lopez. And he had some people there they called wetbacks. They were people from New Mexico that, you know, swim the Rio Grande in order to get work over here, make some money, but they don't have a legal right to be here. And he had a bunch of them there. And I didn't know, you know, everybody looks alike to me sometimes. And there they sat, and I started preaching. They didn't understand a word I was saying. He didn't tell me he couldn't understand English very well, just broken English. And he gets up, starts interpreting. Well, naturally, that's a big giveaway, so I backed up, started again. I go slower. I was preaching the second chapter of Ephesians. And they sat there. You, some of you kind of remind me of them. Now, you think I'm digging you, don't you? Now, you all know me better. I'm not a product of cheap shots. I don't do that. I disdain any preacher that takes cheap shots. I don't care who it is. But some of you do remind me of them. I mean, they just sat there, you know, just, you know, hurry up so we can get home, so we can get to bed, so we can hurry up and get up, so we can hurry up and go to work, so we can hurry up and get home, so we can hurry up to bed. So we can hurry up and get up, so we can hurry up and go to work, so we can hurry up and come home, so we can hurry up and get to bed, so we can hurry up and get up, so we can hurry up and go to work, so we can hurry up and get home, so we can hurry up and get to bed. I'm trying to put some excitement in your life. I mean, this monotonous repetition of everyday sameness, that's what I like about real Pentecost. It puts some excitement in your life. All right, and so they just sat there, and obviously they didn't understand. And he started interpreting, and he still didn't respond. I was preaching in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, right on down the line. And here I was cruising along, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses, nothing happened. I mean, just nothing. And I was preaching and preaching. And then I got, wherefore, remember, and he interprets it. And I went through that little razzmatazz. Then the next verse. That time, ye were without Christ. No response, sat there. Then I said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. When he interpreted that word alien, I lie not, the place went up in smoke. They knew what an alien was. They might not understand anything else I said, but when I talked about that they used to be aliens, they knew what I was talking about. That they didn't have a right to be where they were, to have what they had, to know what they know, to go where they're going. Come on now. I don't know if you're catching this tonight or not, but oh, that's us. The devil tells us you don't have a right. The devil tells us you can't have it, but we got it anyhow. You're not an alien. You're not a stranger. You're not a foreigner. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you, I know for a fact, have been around Pentecost. You've got stories that you know, not out of a book, but you know of healings, of miracles, of prayers answered, of peoples whose lives were so messed up and yet they were changed. And that homes that were put back together, heads put back on straight, and on and on. You're sitting there a walking encyclopedia of irrefutable fact because you was there. You know the place, the people, you can name it. Man, don't just sit on that kind of a testimony. You know you're not a stranger and a foreigner. You have felt His power. Some of you have gotten drunk in the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been there and been healed. Some of you know what it is to pray your way into a job or pray your way out of a problem. You're not sitting there incognito. You're not sitting there, No! You know God's real. You know God can. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands. You're not a stranger or a foreigner. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. I mean, some of us were far off. Isn't that right? If odds were taken legitimately, no way we'd ever be in church. Furthest thing from our mind. But looky here. Looky
Looky, what did it, preacher? Are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Don't tell me there's not power in that blood. Don't you dare sit there and tell me there's not deliverance in that blood. Thank God for the blood. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, having broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Both one, Jew, Gentile, and having broken down the middle wall partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity. Enmity means to be at war with or at odds against. And so here we read, having abolished in His flesh, not our flesh. We didn't live right. Jesus did live right.
Hallelujah.
Did you ever read some of the things about Hebrews 7:26, holy, harmless, separate from sinners? 1 John 3:3, he's pure. Verse 5, in Him is no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, who knew no sin, yet without sin, saith Hebrews 4:15, 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances.
Right.
In other words, ordinances is a group or systematized laws, a method of regulation. The law demanded none of us could live up to it.
Amen.
The law then condemned us, and we were going to hell. But along came Jesus and said, give me that law. He fulfilled it, didn't He? He lived up to it, didn't He? I don't know what route you're going. You might go your way. You might think you could do it. But I ain't going my way. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow His steps because He fulfilled the law. And if I live like Him and let Him direct my life, I can live above sin. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh.
Amen.
I don't want to preach too long tonight. But this verse, and came and preached peace. I hope you don't think I'm nitpicking. Okay. But I just can't help some of these negative nabobs that stride to the pulpit every time and all they've got is thunder and lightning and kicking and gouging and putting down and judging and damnable and low down, filthy. Do you know what the word gospel means? It means good tidings. Do you know what Romans 10:14-17 said? Huh? Blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, listen to me. If anybody had a stack of incriminating, irrefutable evidence against them, it was me. And when He, Jesus, walked up to my door, He could have knocked on it and kicked it off its hinges and said, I've come for you, boy. I got all the goods on you. Come with me. I'm going to throw you in hell myself because you're rotten to the core. I couldn't have said, no, I helped an old lady cross the street the other day. I got this whole book of S.M.H. Green stamps. And, oh, I tell you, Lord. He said, no. No, you're lost. You're unclean. You're unregenerated. I know your heart. I know everything about you. But He didn't come and tell me that. He didn't get up in my face and say, you filthy, no count, no good, damned over, low down. But you know what He did? He knocked on the door of my heart and He said, would you like to change your way of living? Would you like to change your destination in life? Would you like to go to a place where the rivers never freeze and the frost never bites and the roses never fade? And would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to have peace in your heart? Would you like to get your sins under the blood? Would you like to get everything right with God? Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're thinking that I'm saying you never preach holiness or you never preach judgment, you've got me wrong. I'm just simply saying, my brothers and sisters, that you don't clean fish till you catch them. And you can't go fishing with a knife. That's what I'm saying. Is that all right? And if you think you can clean them while they're still swimming, you better not think you are.
But we can get them in the net, get them in the boat, get them back to the dock, and get them in some services and some Bible studies and some red hot revival meetings. Come on now. Woo! I think eventually we can get them cleaned up. You see, oh, help me, sweet Jesus. I'm just trying to preach. That's all I'm trying to do. But I'm telling you, I'm not preaching. You don't preach these things because I can give you scripture, 1 Peter 4:17 and other verses. But this one said, the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, you notice it said begin. It didn't say conclude. It didn't say it was conclusive or exclusive or substantively. It didn't say it was holy, solely. It just said begin. There has to be a beginning. That's the truth. And we all say amen. That the church is the beginning. And we're going to submit to the investigative analyses and the microscopic scrutiny of the Word of God. We're going to put ourselves under the microscope and say, talk to me, sweet Jesus. Sure, we're going to let judgment begin. But if you're looking for perfect people, you better get out of my face. Because you ain't perfect. That's all there is to it. And neither am I. And neither are you. But 1 Timothy 5:24 said, some men sins open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. So this just tells me that you can let the Word of God begin its work in your life and send your sins on ahead to judgment and get it all taken care of. Somebody said amen. Aren't you glad He preached peace to you? Somebody give me an amen on that. And came and preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were not. For through Him, the bottom line, it's through Him. Not me, not the music, not this building, not anybody else. Through Him. Through Him. We both have access but one Spirit under the Father. And that's the only way you're going, is by the Spirit. Don't try any sort of other way. Legalism or any kind of emotionalism or logicalism or Methodism or any kind of whatever you want to throw in the pot. Just remember, it's not the one way you're going to get to the Father, through the Spirit. So if you don't like the Spirit, you ain't going to get through to the Father. That's the only access you got. You may not like that, but the case is closed. Is it not the Bible? What's wrong with some of you? It's the Bible, isn't it? Through Him we both have access by one Spirit under the Father. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It doesn't matter how low you've been brought from, we all come to the same level. Quit walking around that you're holier than I am. We're all on the same level. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The same roof of my Father's house over your heads, over my head. Oh, I know you got blessed Sunday night, but don't stride around like some pompous peacock, because my day is going to come. I might get my blessing tonight. And you have to sit and watch me, so don't act like you something on a stick. In other words, what I'm trying to say, God will bless everybody, God will heal everybody, God will help everybody, God will bless everybody.
Hallelujah.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief. I don't need to preach on this to a church as seasoned as this, other than to cautiously mention, you don't build skyscrapers on dollhouse foundations. And no building is any stronger than its foundation. No matter how beautiful the superstructure, you've got to have a foundation. Thank God for this foundation. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
I didn't read a thing about Jim Jones or Brigham Young or Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Eddy, the Fox sisters. I didn't read a thing about Ann Landers, Abigail Van Buren, or Dr. Spock or Dr. Ruth. I didn't read a thing in there. Not a thing. I didn't read anything in there about an almanac or horoscope or astrology chart or Ouija board or tarot cards or some snaggletooth hag reading your palm or some crystal ball gauge. I didn't read a thing in there about your mama or your daddy or your mama, brothers or sisters. But I did read that if you want to build, build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I did read that Jesus Christ himself being the chief. Around here, Jesus is the chief, and we the Indians. That's all it is. You know, really, I get that impression sometimes in some of our services. We think God's a little puppet. He comes out and does his little jig, you know, and then goes back. And we kind of go through our perfunctory emotions, and, you know, our ritualism, and we got it. Don't check that and say we Pentecostals don't have ritualism. We're as predictable as the sun sometimes. That's the truth, man. Going to beat the Baptist at the cafeteria Sunday morning, bless God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Who likes cold food? But anyhow, what I'm really trying to say is that we can ever understand Jesus Christ is the chief. And if he wants to pour his spirit out in a song service, we're going to let him. If he wants to heal at any point, we're going to let him. He is the chief cornerstone. Repeat after me. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. All right. You know it. That's it. Don't build on any other foundation. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't get to watch this beautiful building go up in its entirety, but I was here a time or two, and I know it didn't just jump up. And I know that there was like a jigsaw puzzle, part here, part there. As you struggled for a long while, it didn't look like much was happening. All of a sudden, it came together, so to speak. And God knows where and how to put each of us fitly framed together. You think the floor can say to this ceiling, I have no need of thee? It's beautiful carpet, but I wouldn't want it to be rained on. And on, you know the logical, deductive reasoning I'm using in this. And so neither can any of us say to anyone else in here, we don't need you, we need one another. You are necessary. You are a vital part of the church of the living God. Your testimony is appreciated. You're fitly framed together. Groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I hope some of us have grown since we've received the Holy Ghost. That we've become more than just a recipient, we're a temple. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Or as the real reading should have been, in the Spirit. In other words, you're a habitation of God. Used to be it was everything else habitated in your habitation. But now God habitates in your habitation. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that an honor? That you're not a stranger, you're not a foreigner, but you're a temple of God. Would you mind to clap your hands in thanksgiving? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I'm going to close with this tonight. I'm not trying to be poetic. But the decision is yours. Life is full of those kind of things called decisions. You can decide whatever, but it's your decision. The word soliloquy means conversation with self. In Shakespeare's famous play, Hamlet, you'll recognize the words. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of trouble and by confronting envy. Now what he was saying was, you can make your mind up. You can do your thing. You can strive to put an end to troubles. Thank God, one day, I said, I'm tired of being a sinner and the trouble sin brings. I have made up my mind to be or not to be. I want to be a people. I don't want to be a stranger and a foreigner. I want to be in that place when the world's on fire and that great day of judgment is coming to say, yes, I know the one that's doing all this. I'm His son. I've got His spirit. I'm a child of God. I am not foreign to the Holy Ghost. I'm not a stranger to the grace of God. I'm glad I've made my decision. Aren't you glad you made your decision? Stand on your feet. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Would you do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oft times our lives are like a journey. And we're swept along by the tide without any direction, it seems. And then suddenly you realize your years have come and almost gone. What have you done with yourself? Your youth is almost a fading memory. Where are you? Sometime you've got to make a decision. This is it. From this point forward, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. No more a stranger. No more a foreigner. I'm doing something tonight I very rarely do. Waxing poetic. There's another little poem I read that illustrates the point. One ship drives east and another drives west, by the self same wind blows. Just the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way she goes. Have you set your sail tonight? Are you going to be just tossed aimlessly, carried by the tides of life? Make your mind up tonight. That's the way you used to be. You're not a stranger and a foreigner anymore. Act like it. Set your sail. I'm in this church to stay. Set your sail. I'm going to example what God can do to a man's life. Set your sail. Let the winds blow. It's not the direction of the gale, but the set of the sail that determines the way we go. Are you glad God dealt with you? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Could I ask everybody that will, would you come to the front? Right now, please. Let the sisters come over here to my right and the brothers over here to my left. And as I conclude my part of the service, I don't know if I've helped you. I really don't. I try. I'm nothing. I know I'm nothing. But I know what God can do in a flash. Even tonight, at this moment, if you could ever grasp that truth, you're not a stranger and a foreigner. God has invested the unsearchable riches of Christ in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Are you glad what the Lord's done for you? Are you glad where He's brought you from? Are you glad you can have some direction for your life? That there's something in the kingdom you can do? Would you take somebody close by the hand, sister with the sister, brother, brother? Would you raise that hand with yours and let's pray together? Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another. Would you do that? In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood.
Oh, yeah.
What can make me pure again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the glory that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood.
Sing that again, would you?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure again? Nothing but the blood.
Everybody!
Oh, precious is the Lord. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Would you turn and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're not a stranger or a foreigner?
Precious is the flow that